Real quickly, a couple things before we get into the message. Please come back tonight at 5 o'clock. We're really looking forward to being able to say goodbye to Tim and Tina. You guys have been a blessing, and we really encourage you all, please come back. I know the weather's not that great, but our brother and sister in Christ are certainly worth our time and energies and our food. So don't look for reasons not to come. Look for reasons to be here. And we live in Colorado. We are spoiled. We have had such ease of winters over so many years now. And then we get a little Colorado winter and we go, oh my goodness, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Which brings me to my next point. The city is our communication software to make known things that are going on in the church. And so if you're going to know what's happening, the city is the best place for you to go to find that out. And so I encourage you to frequently go there and look at things, and that's going to give you the heads up on what's happening. If you had been there, you would have known that our first service was canceled and that we were going to go ahead and have the remaining services, plural, meaning Sunday school, church. And so I'm glad that you're here. Probably the people that I need to be saying this to were here at 8. If you were here at 8 and you're back, thank you for coming. But just keep in tune with the city. You say, what in the world is the city? It's how we communicate. If you're not on the city, all you have to do is go out to that computer right around the entry door to your left as you're coming in the door. There's a kiosk right there. Just type in your email address on that screen. It'll send you an invitation. You can go home, join the city, fill out your profile, and then you'll be in the city. You'll have all this information available to you. So we want you to do that. Our dear brother Benton is going to be teaching on the use of the city in the Sunday school hour of March 15th. So this would be a great time for you who are technically challenged to come and listen to some very good information on how you can connect on the city. So please do that. And then don't forget, right after the services, we need to break down the chairs, set everything up for this evening, because all of us are going to be here. Amen? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 11. Paul writes, continuing his address to this church at Corinth, a church that he has struggled with, a church that has struggled with him. Many in this congregation have found fault with Paul at one time or another. One of the areas where they found fault with him was with regard to the intensity and frequency of his sufferings and afflictions. And they felt like certainly that would not be how God would take care of his apostle. So he must be substandard. He must not be doing something right. And Paul writes to set the record straight that in fact is not the case. So we look at verse 8 of chapter 1. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many may give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. God, we pray your blessing on the time we spend in this passage of Scripture, and I pray, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help these truths to truly come to take root in our hearts. God, that we would learn what it is to honor you in all aspects of life, affliction and blessing. God, may you reign supreme in them all. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Learning the painful lessons of total dependence on God. Sometimes these are very painful lessons, and sometimes we go through struggles and hardships that indicate that this is tough. This is a difficult thing. And God pressing us, conforming us to the image of Christ, many times is not a pleasant circumstance. It can be very painful. And as you think about afflictions and as you think about walking with Christ as followers of Jesus, then I ask you a couple questions, maybe three. How have you handled your afflictions in the past? How have you handled your afflictions in the past? As you look back on some of the things that you've experienced, would you say that God was honored in the way that you went through those? Or do you think there's some things that, man, I think God was trying to get my attention, and I think I've learned some things, and I would hope that those would be different today? How are you handling your afflictions in the present? Some of you are going through some hardships. Some of you are going through some difficulties. Some of you are being pressed in very significant ways. How are you handling that? What's at the forefront of your mind? What are you thinking about when you feel that pressure? When you experience that pain? When your soul is in turmoil? How are you handling that? And then, what about the future? Are you ready for the future? Are you ready for the afflictions of the future? Because they are sure to come. That's something that we cannot escape. That is something that we need to be prepared for. You know, little things like snow removal and travel can be little tiny things that we could say, how am I handling this? How do I deal with this responsibility? Do I greet these things with joy? Or do I curse the clouds of Colorado? What's our heart? I'm serious. Even in the little things of life, we prepare ourselves to honor God in one way or another. The way we handle all the little details are very telling of what's going on in the deepest resources of our heart. If we can't handle the little things well, how are we going to handle the stuff that really gets intense? Right? If you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. That's Scripture. If we can't maintain a good attitude in the midst of little things like snow, how are we going to handle it when our lives are threatened because we profess faith in Jesus, or the lives of someone we know, or the financial stability, or the very ability to care for yourself is threatened? I think that in this passage of Scripture, there's important truths that we can learn. And by the grace of Almighty God and the power of the Spirit, we can apply them. And I hope that we will do just that. We see in verses 8 and 9 that affliction is a reality for God's people, and there is always a purpose behind it. We may not see that purpose, but there is always a purpose behind it. Affliction is a reality for God's people. And there is always a purpose behind it. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. It's impossible to know what the experience was that Paul is referring to at this stage of his address. It's unclear. Attempts to try to figure it out are speculative. You can go back and you can read the book of Acts. You can see, try to pair up the timeline of those events. And you can say, well, this may have been the situation with Demetrius, the silversmith in Ephesus, when he is enraged against Paul. It may have been the thing that Paul described in 1 Corinthians of him fighting these beasts in Ephesus that were part of this. But really, if you take those times and you see them and you pair them up with where Paul is at and what he's writing, it's likely that those are not the case. So there's some undefined situation that took place with Paul and his associates in Asia that was quite intense. Some type of extreme distress that took place with Paul in Asia. Maybe the Corinthians were aware of it. Maybe that's why he didn't define it. Maybe they weren't, and he didn't feel the need to define it. The fact that he wants them to hear, and the thing that the Spirit of God obviously wants us to hear, is that Paul is acknowledging he was in a very dire strait. Things were very tough, very difficult. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. How intense does that sound? The event was severe enough that Paul and his company of ministers felt that their personal abilities to cope with it were overwhelmed. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like in life you're experiencing things and you just feel totally overwhelmed? I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm not even sure I know what to pray. You're not alone. Others have been there with you. Others have been there before you. The pressure is so intense. It's intense enough that they are coming to the conclusion that they're inescapably doomed. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. We thought we're going to die. It became so hot, so heavy. We thought it was over. Now, Paul and his men were no strangers to hardships. Paul and his ministry associates knew what it was to go through difficult things. We'll read of them even in this letter. I mean, he experienced afflictions, beatings, shipwrecks, jail, stoning. Paul's been stoned. Picked up dead at Lystra. I think he has firsthand experience of what it is to be in dire straits, don't you? So when he says, we felt like it was over, it's not an exaggeration. You know, we talk to one another, we complain about ourselves. I thought I was going to die. And we don't mean it. Right? Paul meant it. That was weird. For a minute there, I thought I sounded like Bill Clinton. It was kind of strange. Wow. But God walks with his people in all circumstances. God walks with his people in all circumstances. God is present in the small difficulties of life. When the little stuff happens, God's there. He's involved in that. The little things fall apart. Little problems come. Little skirmishes take place. He's there. God's present in rough times. God is present when stuff gets rough and it gets bumpy and it becomes difficult. God is present in the rough times. And God is present when the bottom falls out. God is real when the bottom falls out. Another way we could term this is when all hell breaks loose, because sometimes it does. And you need to understand, you need to relate to that with what Apostle Paul is saying. God was there with us in the midst of this. He says in verse 9, indeed, we felt we'd received the sentence of death. The thought that they had been given the sentence of death is not describing this event as a legal or judicial decision for men. That's, in my opinion, is not what Paul is trying to say. It's not like we were before the court, they said we're going to die. Oh, well, here we are. I don't think that's what happened. I don't think that's what he's referring to. The affliction they encountered was so intense that they drew the conclusion that God determined that their time on earth was over. We had come to the realization we weren't getting out of this one. He'd gotten out of many, but he'd kind of come to the thought, you know what? I don't think we're getting through this one. And this wasn't a movie. This was the real deal. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Why did this happen? Why did Paul and his associates feel such incredible pressure? There was a purpose for it. Paul and his associates are so pressed upon by these circumstances, they think, I can't get out. We're doomed. But this happened for a reason. It was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul acknowledges that behind what most would interpret as horrific circumstances, God had at least one purpose: to teach complete reliance on him. To teach complete reliance on him. Is it therefore possible, brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe those who are considering the walk of faith with Jesus, is it possible that God might be bringing into your life these circumstances that cause you such desperation that you would realize how important it is to have complete reliance on God? Could that pressure actually be a mercy? We don't like to think like that, but that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. And that's how we need to process this information, so that we react thoughtfully, biblically. Because we can't have the right feelings with it if our mind isn't plugged into the right information. So we need that in our hearts and minds. Paul and those involved had no other option than to put their trust in the power of God to bring deliverance. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. When you think of God raising the dead, what's the most prominent illustration of that that comes to your mind? Jesus. Isn't that incredible? We're supposed to think about Jesus and God's ability to bring Jesus from the dead. And is Paul taking a direct reference from that fact of life, bringing it into his life, communicating it to a church in Corinth, and saying to them, listen to this, people. God brought his son back from the dead. He is with you no matter what you face. He has the ability to bring the dead to life. That's the power that God has. When we're taught not to rely on ourselves, but on him who raises the dead, we need to have confidence that he can do that. This is not a past power, isn't it? Interesting, isn't it? Look at it. What does he say? He says, so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. It doesn't say raised, does it? It says raises the dead. He raises the dead. That applies to Paul in his circumstances. It applies to the church at Corinth in their circumstances. It applies to us who are seated here today in our circumstances. We serve a God who raises the dead. Praise be to his name. He's a powerful God. He's a mighty God. The things that he can do, it's just incredible. What Paul and his associates were directed to see, what Paul wants the Corinthian church to see, what the Holy Spirit wants you and I to see, is the active and all-sufficient power of God. God's active in this world. He's active in the lives of people, and he is active in the lives of us, his redeemed. He is moving in our midst. He's always working to grasp our attention and take that to him, no matter what it is we're facing. He who brought Jesus to life from the dead puts his resurrection power on display every day. Every day. Now, he who brought Jesus to life from the dead puts his resurrection power on display every day. Here's the question. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Because if we really believe that, then we should be able to see that. We should be able to note those things that are happening. We should be able to come to times of prayer and praise and say, oh God, I saw you at work today. Your resurrection power is amazing. Your power to do things that are just incredible, God. May your name be exalted. The people of God have the life-giving resources of God to call upon when they need them. We do. Our God is so powerful. Our God. We got this little book that Lori bought for Briar. She reads to him. Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. There's a song the kids sing that it's like that. Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. It's not just a song. It should be the confession of the hearts of God's people. This is our God. He is so awesome, so incredible, so big. And we shouldn't just have to read a book to our kids. We should be able to say, here's how I'm seeing him every day. This is what he's doing today. We should be conscious of that. We should be thoughtful of that. Your affliction is an opportunity for the power of God. Do you get that? How many times when the affliction comes, are you and I making the determination, where's God? Right? That tends to be our natural human reaction. Oh my goodness, look at the circle, look at what's happened. Where are you in all this? We probably don't have the courage to say that most of the time. Although there are times we do become so bold and that we say that to him. Where are you? How can you see God in this? Oh, it just blows my mind. Man, your mind needs to be blown. You need to blow it through the pages of Scripture because God's constantly speaking in his truth and saying, this is who I am. Listen, this is me. Submit yourself to this almighty God. He's not here to make you like him. He's here to show you his power and his might. He wants you to see his glory. He wants you to see that he rules in all aspects of life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He's there. He's in all of it. And he's trying to get his name up in our lives. So God is on display and his power is present in our affliction. That means in our diseases, God is reigning. It's hard. I hope and pray that as I find myself sick and hurting or diseased, that I would say, oh God, may your name be exalted in this affliction. In your despair, God is reigning with power. Do you hear him? Do you see him? We need to tune our hearts to see him. Kind of like the song says, tune your hearts to sing his praise. That means get yourself in alignment to where it needs to be. Because we get out of tune, don't we? The world takes us out of tune. The flesh takes us out of tune. In your joylessness, the power of God is there. You know, what would God want to do in your joylessness? To show you that he's a good reason for you to find happiness? Do you think that might be the case? that he wants all these things laid at his feet so that we see that he is worthy to be praised in all of it. That in our joylessness, God wants to reign with joy in our hearts so that we can rejoice in the Lord always. Is God's power realized in our death? In the death of those that are near to us? Reality is, we're going to die. How do you want to die? I just want to be quick and painless, right? That's typically how we respond. I just want to be quick and painless. My prayer is no longer that. My prayer is, oh God Almighty, help me to die well for your glory. I want to die well. I want, when it comes and my number's up, I want to die well, even if it means affliction and pain and suffering to my last dying breath. Oh God, empower this weak man to die well. And I want to pray that for you too. Because we need to learn that God reigns in this, because taking a step out of this earth is just taking a step into eternity with God. What greater thing could there be? To be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. We get so tethered to this earth, so tied down, that our purpose and meaning is so identified with what's here rather than him who is there. There's another way that you can see the opportunity for God's power to be put on display. That's in your sin and selfishness. God who raises the dead. God who raises the dead gives you the ability to deal with your sin and your selfishness. God has the power to deal a death blow to your sin. He has the ability to conquer it by his power and his might and his grace, because he's the God who raises the dead. There is no reason for any person sitting here in the flesh and in the weakness of the flesh to say, oh, it's just too powerful. Its grip is too strong. No, 1,000 times no. God has the ability to kill your sin and selfishness. And we ought to rejoice in that. We ought to thank God that that's the case. And we ought to encourage one another every day. God can kill this sin, brother. God can kill this sin. You do not have to. You are not its victim. You have a God who rules, who raises the dead, who gives you the power over this. We should rejoice in these things. God wants to be on display. Jesus died, was buried, and he was resurrected by God's power. Your sin. It's God's opportunity to put his amazing power on display. All your weakness, all your selfishness, he's got the power. But you see, you got to think about that. You got to pray about that. You got to be intentional biblically about that. You can't just say, well, that's a good lesson. That's a good lesson. I'll park that one. There are things that need to die in us, aren't there? Aren't there? Every day there are things that need to die in you and I, aren't there? Well, every day? I mean, I think I've been doing a pretty darn good job. Really? You don't see the things coming to life in the weakness of your sin and fleshliness and your weakness that don't need to die every day? We need to be intent on killing sin in ourselves every day, because if we're not intent on that, it's going to be growing in our lives every day. Yes, amen. It's absolutely true. If you're not intent, if you're not killing sin, it will be killing you. A little quote from John Owen in his interpretation of Romans 8:13. We who are above condemnation in eternity are to be killing sin every day. Man, we need God's power. You say, you don't understand the difficulties I'm in. You don't understand the circumstance. You don't understand. I'm weary. I'm worn. I know. And Paul is telling us we felt overwhelmed to the point we could not cope with it any longer. And this was brought to bear upon us so that we would no longer rely on ourselves, but him who raises the dead. God has the ability to do this. You see, all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Describing Abraham's exemplary trust in God, the Apostle Paul has some words to say. When you think about Abraham, it's pretty amazing that God would come and visit Abraham and tell him, I want you to leave where you're at right now. Take your close family. You go, you leave this place, Ur of the Chaldees, where you're set, you've been here for a long time, but I want you to leave this place, and I want you to go to a place I'll show you. He didn't even tell him where he's going. He said, just get up, pack up, and leave. How would you feel? You said, well, how many of you think your friends and family would be saying, that's not wise? He acted on this. He believed God. He believed God when he said, go here. He believed God when God said, I'm going to make you an amazing nation. I'm going to make all kinds of people from you. Your offspring's gonna be like the sand of the seashores, like the stars in the heavens. Amazing. This is what Paul says, as it is written about Abraham. It says, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. That's the God that Abraham served. The God who could bring into existence things that don't exist. Call the things that are not as though they are. That's an amazing God. That's the faith that we need. That's the faith that God wants to inspire on us. How does that come? Well, it doesn't come by relying on ourselves. Don't rely on yourself. Rely on God who raises the dead. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, it says, Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and your earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. There are many times we face our circumstances, we go, this is too much. This is just too much. We need to come back here. We need to go to places like Jeremiah 32, 17. You made the heavens by your great power and your outstretched arm. Oh God, there is nothing too hard for you. Go do some stargazing. And realize the power of your God. He has the ability to meet you in your need. We have the pages of scripture that scream out to this reality for us. When I don't speak in the first service, I don't get all my words out fast enough. So we're gonna stop right here. We're gonna take some time to observe communion. Folks, that verse of scripture, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That verse of scripture has been in my heart for months from reading this letter. God has absolutely pressed that truth before my heart and mind for the need of my own soul. And I believe that he wants us as a church to see the reality of this for our souls. There are things that you're going through. There's things that you're experiencing. Let's be honest. Let's look at the past. There's some stuff that happened in our lives in the past that didn't go well. And we didn't respond well. That shows us our weakness, doesn't it? It shows us that we're not what we need to be. there are things that are happening right now in your lives, and you're betwixt and between. There are things that you know that the Spirit of God would have you to do and have you to feel and have you to think, and you battle with the flesh, and there are so many times it's so easy to just go ahead and give vent to that fleshly thing. And you say, God's not powerful enough. God is powerful enough. He doesn't want you to rely on you. He wants you to rely on him. We need to be able to say, God, take these present struggles. Take these circumstances of our life. Reign in them. And God, when we face the difficulties in the future, be what they may, we've got to believe that you are the God of your word. That's not looking within you and going, what do I have to muster up in the future so that I can do the right thing? No, it's to get on our face before God and cry out to him and say, I've seen what's here and what I need is you. I need you, God. I need you to reign in me. And you have the power to do this. You raise the dead. You can give strength to this mortal body so that I can honor you in this life. Really, folks, this is why we observe communion, honestly. It's so that we remember the power of Jesus. Whenever you do these things, Jesus said, you remember me. You remember me in my life of affliction. You remember me in my death, and you remember me in my resurrection. Folks, that's where we are. We need to remember Jesus in our life of affliction, and we need to die. We just need to die so that the resurrection power will be revealed in us. This is what Jesus gave us the example of. He's the one who's enough for this day in which we live. Not you, not me. He is enough. He's all we need. He is sufficient for the task. May we lay our impotence at his cross and recognize we see the omnipotence of our God at the empty opening of the tomb. Jesus is powerful. God's power is able. As these men come to prepare to distribute these elements,